Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Anakin Simpwalker, and here's what he has to say. Hey there, Sandman. I'd like to get your opinion on the recent popularity of waifu gacha games. With the incredible success of some recent games that let you spend copious amounts of money to either get or power boost anime girls, I have to wonder how this all ties in with the modern reality of men. When I mean waifu gacha games, I'm referring to games like Genshin Impact, Azure Lane, and Fate Grand Order. Out of these, Genshin Impact was one that was released a little more than a year ago and has earned over $2 billion in profits. It's an insane amount of profit for a game which could easily have you spend a few hundred dollars just to play as one of the girls, much less to give them any power boosts. I understand the game being fun and characters being well made, but for a game that normalizes spending hundreds and possibly thousands on your favorite anime girl, there must be some tie-in with the current reality of both women and society. I'd like to know your opinion on this, Sandman. Thank you for all your good work. Well, Anakin Simpwalker, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. Sex and violence go hand in hand. Elephant seals batter each other to death during mating season for a chance to reproduce. Men fight each other for the girl. The reward for violence done well is a chance to spread your seed. So is it any wonder that guys want to get violent on a video game screen as a scantily clad female? We've all done it before. Regardless of if it was Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat, or a female warrior elf stripped down to her tidy whiteies in the World of Warcraft. That was the character I most played back in my mid to late 20s. It was something sexy to look at while you were slaying those monsters. As for why guys pay for female characters for these games and get power-ups and boosts, a lot of incels play these games and they can't get a date. If I had to guess, I'd say that 30 to 40% of the male population is that way. So a few hundred dollars on a sexy waifu character's weapons and dresses is what they might spend on two or three theoretical dates. The biggest gaming market in the world is China in 2020, with $41 billion. The US is next with $37 billion. Japan and Korea are next with $25 billion. The rest of the countries are European with about $24 billion. So that means that $66 billion of the total is in East Asia, and the European and North American market makes up only $61 billion. So if you're a game developer, you're going to develop games with sexy Asian characters instead of those that are white. I'll discuss more in just a moment. But let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2. Whether you're getting camel toe in Cambodia, banging babes in burkas in Turkey, or taking Polaroids of ladyboys in Thailand, Luca Vendetti has a series of books to make you live the dream. His new three-booklet series includes How to Live on $500 a Month in Cambodia, Turkey, and Vietnam, in addition to his classic, How to Retire on $200K in Southeast Asia. He also has the MGTOW book. Visit MGTOWbooks.com and use the promo code Sandman to get 10% off. Now available in four formats: PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to the sexy young Asian women running barefoot in a short dress clobbering bad guys with their cleavage clown world show. I was watching a video reviewing the top anime gacha games in 2021. One of them looked like Warcraft, another one looked like Legend of Zelda. Others looked like early RPGs from the 1980s with more graphics. We keep telling the same stories over and over again with shiny new graphics. The person reviewing the top 10 said that if you like Legend of Zelda, then you'll love one of these games. How about just playing the original Legend of Zelda? I know most people won't because the graphics are horribly primitive. But if Link was a sexy girl and the graphics were photorealistic, then they would get a Woody while going through those dungeons. I guess that in a place like China, they didn't actually play Legend of Zelda back in the 1980s. In case you're wanting to play it, I put a link to it in the description. As for the popularity of waifu anime girls, they have giant eyes, tiny noses, and oversized heads, with colorful hair. This has to do with neoteny, a term used to describe males finding women with childlike characteristics more appealing, because they represent youth and fertility. Sometimes it can be a bit on the creepy side if you're an adult male because these girly characters, many in schoolgirl uniforms, would be illegal to smash in most countries. So is there an underage element to this? And I'm sure that there are pedos that play these sorts of games too. As for Genshin Impact, it reminds me a lot of World of Warcraft, except with much better graphics. I don't see Genshin Impact as a sexy waifu game though. I didn't see Azure Lane the same way either. Your waifus in that game are even more neon-ish, and you barely see their bodies in it, and their heads take up most of their space. And it's a game designed where you actually fight with battleships, and a waifu is your captain, and she looks like a Funko Pop. I guess the game is popular because it looks like it doesn't take much investment into the game concept. As for Fade Order, I guess you can spend thousands of dollars to get the character you're looking for, and you might not even get it. It combines collecting female Neonis characters with violence, but also it combines an element of predation because you have to pay for rare characters, which are only available as limited time offers. If you don't buy them, you can't buy them later. Apparently level 1, 2, and 3 characters also can't rise to the top. You need the 4s and 5s, and you have to pay for them. The chance of getting a 5-star character by buying new characters randomly is only 1%, and it's 3% of getting a 4-star or level character. So because of that, there is a certain amount of gambling built into the system, and we know that a lot of people are addicted to it. But technically, it's not gambling. You're just buying a character, so it's not technically an online casino. But we all know that it is. This in-game gambling is no coincidence, and the game is mostly played by Asian audiences. Asians generally like to gamble more than Caucasians, so there's a certain level of exploitation there. Going back to Genshin Impact, it looks like a much better game, and there's a sexy waifu character named Amber firing arrows. I like the graphics in it the best, and Amber is wearing sexy thigh-high socks. It looks like the spiritual successor and graphic successor of World of Warcraft. The castle and the green areas outside the castle remind me of Stormwind and the Elven Forest. I really wish the game developers could have actually made it look a little bit different. But I guess WoW came out about 15 to 20 years ago now, so they figure a new generation of people has never heard of that game or played it before. Most games are sequels or too similar for me to care. I also have another way out there theory as to why young men play sexier neonis waifu characters. It could also be part of the whole transgender agenda. The idea of getting young boys comfortable with choosing female avatars. I don't really know what else I can say about these games, so to end this video, I want to discuss my thoughts on the latest Matrix Resurrections film. There are plenty of spoilers ahead, so if you want to watch it first, then do so before listening to the rest of this. Also, this is only my review for the first hour of it, which I actually paused while making this video. First of all, it's the first Hollywood film I've watched in a long time that's made me think. Mr. Anderson, or Neo, is a game developer in it that created the first three Matrix video games instead of the movies we know. And now he's working on a fourth one. It's a film that makes fun of the sequel world that we're currently living in. I got the feeling that it was combining The Matrix with Existence, a film from the late 1990s by David Cronenberg. In this case, with The Matrix, it's reality within a game. But in Existence, it's a game within reality. I'm impressed that it's an actual attempt to make a deep, thought-provoking film that takes its time telling a story that lets you digest it slowly instead of hitting you over the head with non-stop action. It's a satire of a sequel, and I found myself laughing at the woke over-the-top characters, because I knew they were written that way as NPCs. The woke movie critics didn't like it because it makes fun of woke video game developers and their culture. The woke game developers in the film are also evil agents. That's why the woke critics probably didn't like it as well. It makes me think that Lana Wachowski could be trolling everyone with the whole transgender thing to make fun of woke culture, and no one can criticize her for it because she looks and sounds like one of them. The actor said that the film was weird, and they weren't kidding. It's actually weird in a David Cronenberg kind of way, which seems to influence this thing. I felt like I had already seen the film, and not because of the flashback scenes, but because of Existence. The Matrix Resurrections is a film in the first half and not a movie. Films have an element of flawed artistic freedom to them. The most artistic films have parts that are great and parts that suck for most audiences, because they're trying to do something that no one has seen before. They divide the audience into those with an open mind that are willing to overlook flaws for bold creative risks versus those people that want to see something safe, easy to digest, and overall fulfilling on all levels. This isn't that, but it's designed to make you feel unsure about what's happening. As Neo says at the end of the first Matrix film, "I'm not here to tell you how this ends. I'm here to tell you how this begins." Everyone wants to feel the way they did when they watched the first film, like myself back in theaters 22 years ago, and be blown away again by new things like bullet time and the answering of the question, what is the Matrix? The Matrix trilogy was the Star Wars trilogy of my generation, except the best film, Empire Strikes Back, was actually the first film. A New Hope was the second, and the third and least popular Revolutions was Return of the Jedi. That was my impression up to the dojo scene. The leftist critics said that if you like The Last Jedi, you'll like this, knowing that those on the right hated The Last Jedi, and probably guessing that those on the right will use the anti-woke scenes in the film as possible memes. But I couldn't stop there, so I decided to watch the second half because I wanted to know how weird and wacky it was going to get, and what the payoff was going to be. But I was sorely disappointed, because the second half was like Matrix Revolutions and Reloaded. The same sorts of sets and editing style. This film is like combining a Hollywood blockbuster movie and a David Cronenberg-style film together. I really wish they just stuck to the weird and wacky parts. They even gave Trinity the same powers that Neo has. I'm really surprised they didn't take his powers away from him and give them to her. That's probably what the leftist critics wanted. To topple the patriarchy hero Neo. The way they've already demolished Picard, Luke Skywalker, and Doctor Who. The fact that you see Neo and Trinity fly off into the sunset at the end as equals is probably what offended them. Because let's face it, equality for them is the new misogyny. Lana Wachowski has at least evolved as a filmmaker and cameraman. I guess camera woman at this point. She started making films that look more black and white and monochromatic and moved her way into using color. This also happened to me. I started doing black and white with flash, and it took me time to perfect filming with color and natural light. Because what you shoot is not always what you get. As for the popularity of anime waifu games, we need new types of games instead of just reskinning old game concepts. The same goes for our films. We need new stories. I know that technically all stories where the protagonist learns that the world is fake, like in the first Matrix or in Resurrections, is just a replay of Plato's Cave, where people would have actually seen shadowy figures on the walls and wouldn't realize what those shadows were until they were freed to crawl up to the surface out of the cave. But you have to try and tell new stories. The first Matrix came out in 1999 and Resurrections in 2021, and is eerily similar to Existence, which also came out in 99. Maybe Hollywood is finally catching up to where artistic cinema was 22 years ago. As for why guys spend a lot of money on waifus, it's all because of the sexiness, as well as because of status. A lot of guys actually play with their friends, and when their friends see those characters, they tend to respect them. Or so they're hoping. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Anakin Simpwalker for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Neo smashed Granny Trinity in her dried up vajayjay. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45. And it won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the simps from spending thousands of dollars to get a virtual level 5 waifu away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.